scripture that was read in your hearing, Luke chapter 22 and verse number 54. Luke chapter 22 and verse number 54. The Bible says, then took they him and led him and brought him into the high priest's house. And Peter followed afar off. And I want you to turn as well to the book of John, John chapter 13. And looking at verses 36 through verse number 38, John chapter 13, verses 36 through 38. Simon Peter said unto him, Lord, whither goest thou, or where are you going? Jesus answered him, whither I go, thou canst not follow me now, but thou shalt follow me afterwards. Peter said unto him, Lord, why can I not follow thee now? I will lay down my life for thy sake. Jesus answered and said, wilt thou lay down thy life for my sake? In the modern day vernacular, Jesus would have been saying, really, Peter? But he says, verily, verily, I say unto thee, the cock shall not crow till thou hast denied me thrice. In conjunction with John 13, verses 36 through 38, and also Luke chapter 22 and verse number 54. I want to use as a topic from verse number 54 of Luke chapter 22, where the Bible says, and Peter followed afar off. We use the topic following from afar. Following from afar. As we look at many of the accounts that are contained in the scriptures, we can see the wisdom of God as manifested in the Holy Spirit, as the Spirit was moved to write about the accounts of men that we could later relate with. As we look at this particular account, in which Luke deals with the end of Christ's life, even though Luke is dealing with the last hours in the life of Christ, it seems as though that effort is made to illuminate the life of Peter. I'm challenged by the life of Peter. In Peter, we can see the life of one who at times stood boldly. He was one that we could correctly call an apostle among apostles. He was one who, in spite of all, would be chosen to preach the first gospel sermon, as we see in Acts chapter 2. However, he was one who was in the Lord's darkest hour, was not there to stand for the Lord, and he even denied him. But yet, at a time that Jesus needed him, he followed from afar off. I'm challenged because of this text, because something like this could happen to someone who was so strong, who was so sound, who was so seasoned. He had walked with Christ. He saw the miracles, saw him heal the sick, saw him raise the dead, saw the many great wonders that Christ manifested. And I just feel like I need to be careful enough to think that if it happened to Peter, it could happen to me. Jesus gives the admonition in Matthew chapter 16 and verse number 24. If any man come after me, he said, let him deny himself. In other words, it's no longer my desires and my will. Let every man deny himself. And then he says, and take up his cross. In other words, when you're taking up your cross, there's going to be some pain. There's going to be some discomfort. There's going to be some challenges. Living a Christian life is not always rosy. Living a Christian life is not always, if you will, pretty. There are some strong challenges that we're going to face in living as Christians. If any man come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Peter denied Christ and followed him from afar. You see, Peter couldn't see it coming because Peter was very resolute in what he was going to do. Lord, I'm going to stand by you. Lord, why can't I go with you right now? But Jesus, even though Peter could not see it coming, Jesus could see right through Peter. And even before he could make his statement, Jesus had already made the prediction. He foretold his denial. Again, in Luke chapter 22, in verse number 31. When you look back to verse number 31, look at what he says. He said, and the Lord said, Simon, Simon. In other words, Peter, Peter, you just don't know, Peter. He said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. When you think about sifting, Satan is attempting to gradually move you away from where you are to where he wants you to be. It's a gradual process. And I believe it's a process that sometimes is unbeknownst to the person being sifted. He's so resolute, but he's yet so crafty in the way that he approaches dealing with man and dealing with mankind. That's why we have the admonition, let him that thinketh he stand, take heed, lest he fall. The Hebrew writer makes a similar statement. He says, so then we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things that we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. I like the way the New American Standard Version, he said, pay close attention to the things that we've heard, lest at any time we drift away from them. It has with it the notion of a ship that's out on the ocean, and that ship, as it's out on the ocean, must pay very careful attention to the navigational route that it's on. And if it gets off the route just a little bit, over time, that ship is going to be way off of the route. And even without really noticing it, if you're not very careful, you'll be way away from the path that you intended to take. Peter was one who felt like he was ready to go with Christ all the way to the grave. And Look at the succession of things that take place. Again, looking at Luke chapter 22 and down to verse number 31, he said, again, I desire to sift you. Satan desires to sift you like wheat. But then look at what Peter says in verse number 33. He says, he said to him, Lord, I am ready to go with thee both to prison and to death. Peter was resolute. But then look where we find him just a little ways later. Again, we find him, as we read before in verse number 54, they took him and led him and brought him to the high priest's house. And as Peter was looking at all this, now Peter, instead of ready to go with him to prison and to death, he says, the Bible says, Peter followed afar off. And then look what it said in verse number 55. And when they had kindled a fire in the midst of the hall and were set down together. Now, not only is he following afar off, look at what the text says. Peter sat down among them. He's moved from standing with Jesus to following him from afar off to now sitting among them. Then look at the progression. Verse number 56 says, But a certain maid beheld him as he sat by the fire and earnestly looked upon him and said, this man was also with him. The Bible says in verse number 57, and he denied him. I was going to follow you, but now I've followed you afar off. Then I'm sitting among them, and now I've been accused of being with Jesus, and now I'm denying him. Not only do you not deny knowing him, you say, I don't know this man. Then in verse number 58, after a little while, another man saw him and said, thou art also of them. And he said, man, I am not. He denied him again. Satan desires to sift us like wheat. And I believe that the Spirit chooses to tell us certain stories and to relate them to us to help us to understand, at least on one level, just how vulnerable we are. Because if he could get Peter, this resolute, strong preacher, to come to a point that Jesus had prepared him for. But yet, even in his desire and in his confidence of the fact that he was able to stand with God, and he turned his back on the Savior as he was sifted like wheat, it lets me know that I'm susceptible and you are susceptible. Satan is out there trying to sift us like wheat. He'll sift you in your relationships. He'll cause individual to go against individual, and you feel that you're there for one another, and you feel that you're a part of one another, but Satan can keep working on one or both of you and sift you like wheat, and then there you go. Satan can take a leadership that once had unity, a common purpose, a desire to work together in a wholesome, wonderful environment, and Satan can come in and he can sift somebody and cause a rift in that leadership. Satan can take a church. When I think about this church, All that God has blessed us to do and to be. Satan would love for Greenville Avenue to have and to lull us into a sense of apathy, convincing us that Greenville Avenue has arrived, there's nothing more to do. But we got to be careful that we don't let Satan sift us. Young people, Satan's trying to sift you. He's trying to sift you like wheat. He's trying to gradually move you away from where you should and ought to be. It's a beautiful thing to see these young men so apparently dedicated and so have such a great love for the kingdom, and you're working and you're so eloquent and you're so able as you serve. But just realize, Satan is desiring to sift you. He's working on you right now. He'll cause you here in a year or so, if not right now, to think, well, I did that when I was 11, 12, 13, but, you know, I kind of moved back now. He has devices to use, drugs and alcohol and that first time, that first drink, it will allow Satan to sift you. Young men, he'll even put a pretty young lady in front of you to sift you. But stand back and think about it. For all of us, the sifting process is ongoing. And I don't think any of us can afford to think, well, I'm someone that's not going to be susceptible to that. I have to realize that in my life, each and every day, Satan is always trying to put something forward against me. That's why Paul said in Ephesians, he said, put on the full armor of God that you might be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And that word wiles in Ephesians, that word wiles is a cleverly devised plan. And it's not just a cleverly devised plan, it's a cleverly devised plan with you in mind. We got to be careful. We have to have the attitude that Paul had in 2 Corinthians chapter 2. And looking at verse number 11, Paul talks about this. He said, lest Satan should get an advantage of us. He said, for we are not ignorant of his devices. Satan has devices. Satan has ways to get at us. And that's why it's so very important for the Christian to be always sober, always vigilant, always mindful of what's going on around us and always what's going on in our lives. Satan has an advantage when we sink into a sense of self-security. I've got it together. I've got it under control. And you see, Satan attempted to use Peter, to use him for a different light of some of the things that were going to shortly take place. But Jesus told Peter, he said, get thee behind me, Satan. You know, sometimes Satan will use individuals close to us as devices. But I've got to be of a mindset that says I'm going to always be alert and ready to do those things that are needful to continue to maintain a state of dedication to my Lord in all situations. And I must be ready to give the same response that Jesus gave. When temptations come your way, you know, Satan can make things look real good. Your response needs to be, get behind me, Satan. When something appeals to your eyes or to the desires that are in you, don't let it get you. Say, get behind me, Satan. When it seems that it's becoming easier to not open your Bible and study, you got to tell yourself, get behind me, Satan. When it seems like it's easier to not be involved in such things that are for my spiritual enrichment, a Bible class and other things, and I find myself again feeling a feeling of self-fulfillment, I need to tell myself, get behind me, Satan. Whatever the case is, anything that comes between me and my spiritual development, we need to do everything we can to put it behind us. There are devices that Satan uses to slowly sift us like wheat and to cause us to follow from afar. And when I speak of following from afar, I believe the modern day equivalent of this, as I said just a moment ago, is apathy. But you know, when I think about it, God did not send his son to shed his precious blood for us to follow from afar. He wants us to walk with him. In Ephesians chapter 2, and looking at verse number 12 and 13, the Bible said that at the time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. He said, but now, in Christ Jesus, ye who were sometimes were afar off, he said, are made nigh by the blood of Christ. Oh, when I think about the blood of Jesus Christ, and I think about the fact that I've been cleansed from all of my sins, I've been justified from all of my sin, that's not a reason for me to back up and follow from afar. That's a reason for me to walk up and walk with God at all times. James said it this way. He said, let us draw nigh to God. And he said, he will draw nigh to you. That sounds like a beautiful arrangement to me, doesn't it? You grow closer to God, and he'll grow closer to you. What does that mean? It means that those things that he's made as provisions for me, they will become more meaningful to me in my life as I draw closer to him. When I think about all the things that God has done, and I have the ability to look back on things that he's accomplished in my life, it causes me to draw closer to him. When I think about the fact that he has made provisions for my life, not only now, but through eternity, it causes me to draw closer to him. The Hebrew writer put it this way in Hebrews chapter 10, and looking at verse number 22, through verse number 24, he said, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. He said, for he is faithful that promise. And then he goes on to say, and let us consider, well, let me go back to verse number 22. He said, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. And then he says, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promise. He says, let us draw near. Let us hold fast. As I draw near, I'm seeing and feeling the effects of a proper relationship with God. As I hold fast, I'm letting go of the things of this world that could otherwise injure my relationship with him. And then as I draw near and I hold fast, look what he says in verse number 24, and let us consider one another. I got to hold fast and I got to draw near because I have a responsibility, not just to myself, but to somebody else. I got to hold fast. You know what I think about walking with God? The Bible says in Genesis chapter 5 and verse number 24, the Bible said Enoch walked with God. Then the Bible said, and he was not. That must have been some kind of walk. The Bible said he walked with God, and he was not because God took him. Oh, that must have been some kind of walk. What must it have been like that Enoch walked in such a way, and God just said, Enoch, come on. He walked with God. Noah didn't follow from afar. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 6 and verse number 9, he was perfect in his generation, and he walked not from afar off, but he walked with God. In a time in which he faced scrutiny and he faced all sort of criticism, in a time in which he was told to build an ark and said that it was going to rain, and it had never rained, but yet there was Noah out there building on that ark day after day after day and living a life that was pleasing and acceptable while he looked around and the whole world was doing something else. But no matter what the world was doing, he kept on walking with God. You know, sometimes in our lives we may come to a point where we feel like we're walking by ourselves. But you keep on walking. But we have a God that said, he's gone on record of saying, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. I'm never walking by myself as a dedicated Christian, as a child of God. I don't ever want to follow from afar. Today, when I think about this walking with God, it even seems that we have some churches that want to follow from afar. When I think about when going back to Luke chapter 22, when Peter was sitting with them, we have some churches that don't want to uphold the purity of doctrine. They want to follow from afar. No longer want to accept the oneness or the unity of the church, but they want to follow from afar. When Peter followed from afar, he had to be with them. Some churches want to follow a doctrine so that they will be with them. Who are the them? The very ones that would not accept the teaching of Christ. Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse number 14 through 17, he said, come ye out from among them. Be ye separate, saith the Lord. As a congregation, the way things are going, in the coming years, we're going to have to walk on many things by ourselves with God. But I'm going to tell you, if I'm on a long walk and the only one present is God, that's enough. We don't need acceptance from the status quo. We don't need acceptance from, quote, the brotherhood. We just need acceptance from God. Sometimes when you choose not to follow from afar, again, you'll have to stand alone. And when we look again at Luke chapter 22, and I want you to go down to verse number 62, and we find something happening with Peter. And I'm about to bring this to a close. We look down to verse number 61, if you will. The Bible said the Lord turned and looked upon Peter. And Peter remembered the word of the Lord and how he had said unto him, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. The Bible said, and Peter went out and wept bitterly. As a result of the events that had taken place, Peter wept. Why did he weep? Yes, he must have felt a personal disappointment, but I believe that the hurt that he had went all the way to his soul. There was a desire that was there. But Peter did not fulfill what he felt he was otherwise able to do. The hurt, the disappointment. When you think about our bodies and you think about our lives, we are individuals who need the constant presence of God. When we look at Psalms, the 42nd chapter, and I'm just about finished. Psalms, the 42nd chapter, he gives a beautiful statement here that I think relates to the lesson that I've attempted to share with you tonight. In Psalms chapter 42, and looking at verse number 1-3, it says, as a hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, the living God. When shall I come and appear before my God? My tears have been my meat day and night, while they continually say unto me, where is thy God? You know, our bodies are mostly water. And without water, we crave water because we need water. That's the physical body. But there's another part of us that is spirit. When I'm without the Spirit of God working in me from a close relationship, I crave that relationship because I was created by God to need that relationship. A lot of people in this world, they don't realize that's what they need. That's why they spend a whole lifetime trying to fulfill their needs with other things. But I need the presence of God. I was not created to follow him from afar. I was created to walk hand in hand with him. Look at what the text says in verse number 11. He said, why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him, who is the health, just like water is the health of my physical body. God is the health of my spiritual body. God is the health of my countenance. When I'm walking around not feeling the way that I should be feeling, when I'm walking around and I'm maybe a little bit down, and when I'm walking around and maybe things don't seem to be coming together the way that they should, I believe that one of the greatest remedies for the Christian, I need to check my walk. Check your walk. Health to the body. When the body is in pain, we take Advil, Tylenol, Motrin, and hopefully everything else that is safe and legal. But health to the body, this spiritual man, is my walk with God. And I can't afford to follow him from afar. I want to walk with him each day. I want to feel his presence each and every moment of the day. I want to know that there is a God who looks upon me, and in his providence and in his mercy and in his love and in his grace, I am in his protection. And it gives me a confidence in this life. It gives me a comfort in this life that things can't give me, that money can't give me, that even some relationships can't give me. It gives me everything that I need just walking with him. And even as I walk and as I continue to walk, and when I take my very last step on this earth, and when the breath leaves my body and I move into another realm, he's right there on the other side to receive me. It's a never-ending walk. You know, some folk will walk with you to a certain extent, and then you're on your own, just like Peter. But we serve a God who will walk with us always. I hope you've gotten something for the lesson tonight.
Amen.
What a wonderful God that we serve. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Maybe there's someone here tonight and you are not a Christian. You're walking by yourself. This life was not designed for you to walk by yourself. You need to walk with the Lord. Begin your walk by hearing the word of God, believing the same, repenting of your sins, confessing that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Go down to the watery grave of baptism. You come up a new creature in Christ. And from that point on, you walk, not by yourself or on your own, you walk with the help and the presence of God. And if you're here tonight and you are a member of the Lord's church and you've been following from afar, don't live beneath your privilege as a Christian. Live and take advantage of the privilege. Take advantage of what Christ came here to die for. Peter turned his back, but Peter later realized what he had done, and we find Peter on Pentecost preaching the first gospel sermon. He realized who this Jesus was. And you need to realize that you don't want to walk alone. You want to walk with him each and every day of your life. If you have a need this evening, would you please come as we together stand and sing the song of encouragement.
I am resolved no longer to linger, charmed by the word.